very long, but I would like to ask you to join me in Proverbs chapter 14. We'll just look at one verse here at least. Proverbs chapter 14. This is kind of the theme verse for the message today. Proverbs chapter 14 and one scripture, and I'll give you a moment to turn there. And Proverbs chapter 14 and just one verse, verse 34. Proverbs 14, 34. And we read these words. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I'd like to read that out of the Passion Translation. I like how this is worded. Same Proverbs 14, 34 from the Passion Translation. It says, a nation is exalted by the righteousness of its people. That really speaks to me because it puts it on us. It's kind of, I can kind of distance it from me maybe a little bit when I think righteousness exalts a nation. But when it says a nation is exalted by the righteousness of its people, to me that becomes more personal. But sin heaps disgrace upon the land. The message I just want to share with these few moments today is just simply this. Righteousness exalts a nation. Righteousness exalts a nation. And Father, I pray right now that you would just, you're already moving and preparing hearts. Just draw us to yourself and your will. We want to submit ourselves to you, commit ourselves to you. And Lord, work in us your holy and perfect will and help us to live it out by your grace for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me give you a simple definition, a scriptural definition of what righteousness means. If you think about the word right, righteousness means being in right relationship with God. So righteousness exalts a nation, or a nation is exalted by the righteousness of its people. When the people, we, are in right relationship with God, then that is righteousness. Righteousness is a gift that we could never earn or deserve. God freely grants it to us. This is what the scripture says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You'll be rescued from your sins. In other words, we have to believe that, know that scripture tells us that we've all sinned, and our sin separates us from a holy God in this life and the life to come. But the Bible also tells us that he loved us so much that he punished his own sinless son with our sins when he suffered and died on the cross. God raised him from the dead, and he ascended back on high as Lord. And when we acknowledge that Jesus is the only sinless, crucified, and risen Lord and can call on him to save us, he saves us. Doesn't matter how young or old, what we may have done in the past, the slate is wiped clean. He completely forgives all of our sins. His Holy Spirit indwells us, and he gives us his righteousness, and we cannot improve on the righteousness of God. So righteousness exalts a nation. And then one more scripture on this line. The Bible says this, 2 Corinthians 5:21, and I'll read it from the New Living Translation. We can have it on the screen. It says, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right, or as it's also translated, so that we could become the righteousness of God through Christ. So that's what it means to be righteous is, and I've used this illustration before. Kim and I have one daughter, Brittany, and when she was living at home, she was our daughter. She was my daughter, I'll say it personally. She was my daughter because she was born from us. And when we are born again, God makes us righteous. Now, when she was living at home, if I would say, Brittany, your room's kind of messy, well, she kept it straight anyway, she would clean. But if I just said, Brittany, I want you to clean your room up here, okay? And if she cleaned her room, she didn't clean it to become my daughter. She cleaned it because she was my daughter and is my daughter. So see, we can come to church and that's great. It's a good Christian activity. I believe we need it, but that in itself does not make us righteous. But when we are right with God, by the gift of his grace and goodness and what Jesus did at the cross, then we want to do. We pray, we fellowship, we want some type of scripture given to us. We want that because his spirit living on the inside of us give us this desire. Let me show you a picture real quick. Some of you may recognize it. It's 267 years old, older than the founding of our nation. How many of you recognize? All right, what is it? The Liberty Bell. The Liberty Bell is inscribed with these words from Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 10. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. That's on our Liberty Bell. And you can look throughout history and even some of the monuments, so forth, you find the belief in and a trust in God in our nation's history. Thus, we have a very unique and special history, I believe, as Americans, and thank God for it. So here in this, he says, proclaim liberty. And Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Shall set you free, shall make you free. And there was a man who wrote a song called Amazing Grace years ago, John Newton. As I understand it, if it's correct by reading the testimonies over the years, he was a slave trader and a heavy drinker at the time. And he fell overboard one time on the seas, on the ocean. And his men harpooned him to get him back in the ship. And that became his wake-up call to say, that could have ended it, and I would be in a place I don't want to be. And he wrote, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Not only to save him and forgive him sin and give him a new start, he became a person who was instrumental in ending the evil of slavery right here. Righteousness exalts a nation. Thank God for his that amazing grace and the freedom that he gives from our sin and in our daily walk. Can we just sing this together? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Good in his word. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life. Chains of dawn,
My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains. Unending love, amazing grace.
Sing this last verse.
The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine.
Will be forever mine.
Will be forever mine.
Let's tell him, you are forever mine.
You are forever mine. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains unending. Amazing grace,
unending love,
unending love, amazing grace.
Amen. Lord bless you. Thank you. Go ahead and have a seat. For those, the kids that have that take-home page, on the opposite side of the coloring page, there is a little outline of today's message. I want to just basically ask and answer the question, I hope, of how can we be a righteous influence? Because Jesus said to his followers, you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. You are. Why do we put salt in anything? Don't say raise your blood pressure. To flavor it, there's an influence there. And does a light shine brighter in the daylight or in the darkness? So when the world is dark around us, the light of God's Spirit in us can shine brightly. And that's what He wants us to do, to shine. So Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. Flavor, taste and see that the Lord is good. Let's live in a way that we could want others to taste and see that the Lord is good, and to let our light shine in a way that our attention is not drawn to us, but that people give God the glory and that people are drawn to Him. So how can we be a righteous influence? I believe there are three steps, and I just want to give you the scripture. Some of you are probably familiar with it. It's found in 2 Chronicles 7:14, and then I just want to give you a scripture for each one of these, I believe, that are practical steps that we can take to be a righteous influence in our nation, maybe in our neighborhood, our home, our world, wherever we are. So how can we be a righteous influence? I'm going to try to do this one from memory, okay? 2 Chronicles 7:14. Where God told Solomon, and he was the king of Israel at that time, the third king. And just because of what he's getting ready to say, we can look throughout the rest of scripture, like for example, in the book of Jonah, and know that this was not just for Israel. It applied to Israel, but it wasn't just for Israel. For example, when God said he's gonna overthrow Nineveh in 40 days, do you know what they did? They repented and they humbled themselves. They fasted, they sought God, and God said, okay, you've changed and you're not gonna be judged now. It eventually came 100 years later because they went back to their old ways. I just want you to see this can apply to other people, not just Israel. But the Lord said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. So to humble ourselves, to pray, seek the Lord, and to turn from our wicked ways, brothers and sisters, God says, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. There is a blessing that comes by being right with God. And it can come not only to an individual, but when there are enough, it can come to a group and to a country to be that righteous influence. So it is up to us, I believe, that we bear a responsibility before the Lord and before others as his ambassadors, if we are in Christ, if we know him, to represent the Lord, to bring righteousness and a righteous influence like salt and light to our world and to our nation. So here are the three steps, real quick. In fact, if you're still in Proverbs 14, would you turn to Psalms 10? Psalms 10, and I'll read just a few verses out of this psalm, and God willing, next week, Wednesday, I'll be in Psalm 5, and then next week we'll be back on a series I just started 2 weeks ago, last 2 weeks out of Psalms. But today, because of the occasion of our 250th anniversary of our Declaration of Independence, I believe this is a timely word. I hope it is for us, that righteousness exalts a nation. So here's the, how do we, and I'll go ahead and just tell you all three right now, to how can we be a righteous influence based on 2 Chronicles 7:14 and other areas, other scriptures, to be humble, prayerful, and faithful. Be humble, prayerful, faithful. Would you, do you think you could say that with me? I don't know if it's on. Yeah, you got it. Okay. All right. Would you say it with me? Be humble, prayerful, faithful. So here's the scripture in Psalms 10. I'm sorry. Yeah, Psalms 10. I'll begin in verse 4. I won't read every verse for sake of time. It says, the wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. See, it's an indication of pride when we think we don't need God and we don't think about him and we don't seek him. So he says, the wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. If we don't think about God, that shows we think we can just do this without him. Four verses in here mention the heart in this psalm. I want to just read verse 6. The Bible says this, that speaking of the proud, the wicked, here's why. Because he said in his heart, I'll not be moved. I'll never be in adversity. I can live any way I want. It won't cost me. That's what the heart attitude is. Then verse 7 says, his mouth is full of cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is trouble and iniquity. And Jesus said it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. Sometimes our words reflect maybe that we don't, I'll say humble ourselves before the Lord because we need his help to control the tongue. Can I get a witness on that one? The Bible says no man can contain the tongue. We can't do it without his grace and help, but he is available. Then if you drop down to verse 11, it says this, once again, he has said in his heart, God's forgotten. He hides his face. He's not going to see it. Do you see how a wrong belief about God can lead to wrong actions? So then he says this in verse 12, arise, O Lord. O God, lift up your hand. Do not forget the humble. And then 13, why do the wicked renounce God? Here again, because he said in his heart, you will not require an account. That the pride that says, I can live how I want, it won't cost me, and I won't give an account to God on how I live. Well, that's wrong. Verse 17, and now we get the contrast. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble, and notice please, you will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear. See the contrast there between the humble in heart and the proud in heart? And just a right belief in God leads us to live right. That's why righteousness exalts a nation. It's from our own personal walk with the Lord. See, humility admits that we need God. And not just for salvation, but we got to start there. If I think I'm good enough on my own, that I'm just gonna try to be a good person. I believe one day my good deeds will outweigh my bad deeds. That's all somewhat of a self-sufficient pride. And God says, no, the blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We have to be willing to acknowledge, I am not right with God and I can't save myself, but I know someone who can. So we come to God that way, but then it's not just that I need him for what we call salvation. I need him to forgive my sin. I need him to make me righteous because I can't do it on my own. But how many of us have learned that we need God every day of our lives? Day in and day out, in every season, in every temptation, every trial, every mountain, every valley, we need him in it all. And the humility says, God, I want to wake up. I started thanking the Lord every day when I wake up to just say, Lord, you've given me another day. Thank you. One day they'll end in this life. But Lord, you've given me today. Help me, Lord. Help me to make the most of it and to make it count for you. That's to humble ourselves for the Lord and to invite him in. And I just want to ask you, would you join me this morning in seeking God for personal revival? Let's take it off the country right now. Let's not blame Richmond, Washington, Wall Street, Hollywood, anything, anyone else. Could we just humble ourselves to say, Lord, I need your touch again. I want a closer walk with you. I need your cleansing. Lord, pour your spirit out and revive me. Can we just, maybe you'll have that in your heart that you would make that your prayer with me this morning as we sing this, and then we'll give you the last two, okay?
I am dry and thirsty, Lord. Send your rain. Send your rain.
Lord, I need your touch.
Lord, I need your touch again. Send your rain. Send your rain.
Let it rain.
Let it rain. Let it pour from heaven. Let it rain to revive my soul. To revive my soul. I need your I need your streams of refreshing until I thirst no more.
Lord, I need your cleansing.
Lord, I need your cleansing now. Send your rain. Send your rain. My every sin, send your rain, send your rain. Let it rain, let it pour from heaven. Let it rain to revive my soul. I need your rain, I need your until I thirst no more.
This last verse.
We're living in a dry and thirsty land. Send your rain. Send your rain. America needs your touch. One more time, send your rain. Oh Lord, send your rain.
Let it rain,
let it rain all across this nation, all across this nation. And let it rain, let revival roll. We need your rain, we need your streams of refreshing.
Let it pour from heaven.
Let it pour from heaven. Let it rain to revive my soul. I need your rain. I need your streams of refreshing until I thirst no more.
Lord, revive me. Fill me and use me, Lord. Draw me closer. I want to submit to you and to your perfect will. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you. You can go ahead and have a seat. So how can we be a righteous influence? First, be humble. Second, be prayerful. Would you join me in the New Testament book of 1 Timothy? 1 Timothy chapter 2. We'll give you these last two. Be humble, prayerful, faithful. First Timothy chapter 2, just these first four verses. Again, I'm sure a number of you are familiar with this scripture. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, the Bible says, therefore, I exhort, first of all, that, and he just mentions different forms of prayer, supplication, prayer, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Then he specifically in verse 2 mentions for kings and all who are in authority. But notice why God commands us to pray for those in authority. He doesn't just say pray to bless them so they'll be fine. He says pray for them so that we, speaking of believers, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Then verse 3, for this is good. Would you turn to somebody and next to you and just tell them, it's good to pray for our leaders. You don't have to vote for them. Obviously, you can't vote for all of them. There's some of them we don't agree with, but they all need our prayers. And God commands in Scripture that we, as his people, live in obedience to pray for them. So it's good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men, would you please say all men?
All
men. Say all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants everyone to be saved. So every time someone slips out into eternity without the Lord, it wasn't his heart and his will, but from the start, he's given us the choice. Eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and be your own God and suffer the consequences, or trust me. And we've been having that battle going for ever since that time. So to be prayerful. So one way we seek the Lord is to seek him in prayer. And he says we're to pray for those in authority because their decisions and laws that they pass have potential to affect every area of our lives. Every area of our lives. And thank God we do have a very unique Christian-influenced heritage. I said Christian-influenced. I didn't say everyone was a Christian. But we have the history there. And our founders, some of them left as Puritans and pilgrims, left Europe. They actually left and went to another country, and then they were persecuted there. They really came, some of them, wanted to just the freedom to worship and serve the Lord and to share the good news of Jesus with the Native American people here. Not everyone came with the right heart. And we need to acknowledge that. I think of America. I've thought about it this week. We've got the good, the bad, and the ugly. But hey, well, thank God for the good. And so, but they came with a right heart, and they befriended the Indians, and they helped one another, shared the gospel with them. And God's hand, I believe, was on them. And they even gave us the Constitution. We are a representative republic. What that means is our laws are to be based on higher laws. And what is I'm going to misquote something, okay? All right, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the democracy. The founders did not want us to be a democracy because sometimes the majority is wrong. So in the preamble, they said, we're going to submit to higher laws, laws of nature and nature's God. And then in the Declaration, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and that our rights do not come from the government, but they come from God, our creator. So they had it, as Pastor James Merritt said years ago, they had it right in creed, but they didn't have it right in deed. Because they didn't treat everyone as being equal. But because of the Christian influence, that's important in England and eventually here, that evil was eventually overturned. But do you see how it has to start in the heart? It has to begin in the heart. And so we have a constitution. So even our, I believe they sought God. They studied history. They knew history. They knew governments that had failed. And they made a separation of powers based on, there's a scripture from that in Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 22. It says that God is our king, lawgiver, and judge. And so they made the three branches, the administrative, the judicial, and the legislative branch based on scripture. In 1 Peter 2, I think it's verses 13 and 14, it says that one purpose of the criminal justice system is to punish the evil and praise the good. If we get that backwards, we're going to live in a lawless society. Righteousness exalts a nation. Be humble, prayerful, faithful. Jesus told us to pray for God's kingdom, his reign, his will to be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. So we want to pray for our leaders so that we could live in peace, that we could live in the freedoms to live by God's word. That's why they came to do that. And so we could be blessed to share the truth of the gospel with others. I want to read you something from Ben Franklin in just a moment, and I'll give you this last one. But to pray for our leaders. And we see examples throughout scripture. Abraham prayed for Sodom, and God said, if there are 10 righteous people here, I will not destroy it. He pleaded for a nation, and the Lord would have answered if there were enough. Daniel prayed for 3 weeks, 21 days, eating basically vegetables and drinking water for the purpose of seeking God. And the reason it took 3 weeks for the answer to come is because there was a spirit over the nation hindering that answer from coming. So when we pray to break spiritual strongholds. We pray to bring people to Jesus. We pray for revival. We pray for a spiritual awakening. Our country has had two. One of them, it was just before the American Revolution, and I believe we're ripe for a third. A great awakening. When Ben Franklin was up a little bit in age, he went, as they were talking about how to have the Constitution and so forth. And this is what he said. He wasn't known initially, especially in younger years, being the most Christian man of the founders. But he says, in the beginning of this contest with Britain, when we were sensible to danger, we had daily prayers in this room for divine protection. Our prayers, sir, he was speaking to the leader there in the group, were heard and they were graciously answered. All of us who were engaged in this struggle must have observed frequent instances for a superintending providence in our favor. Have we forgotten this powerful friend, or do we imagine we no longer need his assistance? I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men, and if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it possible that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured in the sacred writings that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it. I firmly believe this. Be humble, be prayerful, and then finally be faithful. Revelation 17, 14. Says this, Revelation 17, 14, one verse, that there's coming a time when those kings of the earth will gather to fight against the Lord and his Messiah. And it says that these will make war with the Lamb. Y'all know who the Lamb is, right? Jesus. And the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And then those who are with him, if we were Jesus, this is a characteristic of followers of Jesus, called, chosen, and faithful. Called, chosen, and faithful. So if we want to be a righteous influence in our home, community, our nation, we must be humble, prayerful, But then we can't just pray, we got to live it out. It's being obedient to God's word, being faithful. See, God is faithful to his word and he's faithful to us. And by his grace and his spirit living in us, if we are born again, we can be faithful to him. So he says, called, chosen, and faithful. Not perfect, but faithful. There is a testimony of being faithful for the Lord. And then the Lord rewards us for being faithful. I'll close with this. I do, again, I thank God for the blessings that we've enjoyed. Even our First Amendment guarantees that we have the freedom of worship or religion. It says Congress shall make no law. Let me pause here a minute. Does that sound like the restriction is on us, the citizens, or on the government? Congress shall make no law. Establishing a religion, in other words, they've left where the Church of England, the king said, you've got to join, you've got to be a member, and you're going to pay your tithes because we're getting some of it. And they dictated what the church said and did. And they said, we're not going to live that way. We're going to be dictated by what God said. And so that was what they came to establish. That's why even the phrase, y'all have heard separation of church and state? It's not in the Constitution. It was a private letter from Thomas Jefferson to the Danbury Baptist, January 1st, 1802, to let them know, you don't have to worry about us setting up a state church because there is a wall of separation. The wall of separation was that we are free to worship. He says, or prohibiting the free exercise, freedom of religion, to not establish a state church and not to prohibit the free exercise thereof. Many in the world today do not have this freedom because they're not founded on scriptural principles. Then it says, we're guaranteed five freedoms: worship or religion, speech, press, to peacefully assemble, and to address the government with grievances. Please don't think, my brothers and sisters, if we lose that first freedom, we're going to keep the others. Where in the world do they not have freedom to worship and yet have freedom of speech and freedom to live as they want? So do you see, righteousness exalts a nation. So I believe it's up to us. And we need followers of Jesus to be godly influences in every area of our lives, beginning in our homes and in our churches and in our schools and universities and in the government and in the military and in the media and in entertainment and sports. We need God's light and salt in every area for his kingdom to come and his reign and his will to be done. So I'll close with this. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Let's thank God for the good and seek to promote it. Let's recognize the bad and seek to correct it. And let's avoid the ugly by how we talk to one another and treat one another. Y'all okay? May we humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways and then ask him to pour out his spirit on us. Can we stand as we close in prayer? Before we sing this last song, I believe is even as a prayer, I thought about it even this morning. I wonder how many people over the last over 250 years, really, I guess, have had their eternity changed because they heard the gospel, because America sent missionaries out to other nations. I wonder how many have been blessed and cared for because Christians built schools and Christians built hospitals in needy areas, and they became the salt and light in those very practical ways. I wonder how many. And I thank God that we, I believe, still continue to do that. But if we, to just be honest, we have also become the largest exporter of pornography in the world. I read that years ago. So do you see how, thank God for the good, but let's seek to correct the bad. Let's pray. And I want to speak to every student here. If you're not yet 18, I want to encourage you Would you begin praying now for your country? And would you seek to be informed and register and vote? I want to encourage you to, that's a great freedom that we have. And I hope that as you get older and you're old enough to do that, that you will. So Father, we thank you for your many blessings. Thank you that you are faithful, Lord. We are blessed, but I pray that you would help us to receive the blessings and make the most of them. Lord, forgive us of our pride. Forgive us of our prayerlessness and our faithlessness. So Lord, pour out your spirit, revive us again, and draw us to a closer walk with you. And let us have the joy of bearing much fruit for you, being a godly influence, and just knowing that we're right with the living God, and that others can be too. In Jesus' name, I just want to speak.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus.
Every heart and every mind.
Over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak I just want to speak the name of Jesus.
Every dark addiction.
Every dark addiction starts to break.
There's hope and freedom.
Declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus.
Your name is power.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire.
Over fear, anxiety, and depression.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Over fear and all anxiety. To every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus.
Your name is power.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire.
Shout Jesus from the mountains.
Shout Jesus from the mountains. And Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountains.
Shout Jesus from the mountains. And Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Let's sing this just one last time. Shout Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountains and Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Father, we speak the name of Jesus not only over fear and depression, over anxiety, We speak the name of Jesus over addictions. We speak the name of Jesus over division. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. May you reign over all. Lord, empower us by your Spirit. Fill us as we seek you daily with just a fresh outpouring. Lord, let revival begin on the inside of me. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.